Would you turn with me in the chapter that we read, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and the text for our meditation is the second verse of the chapter. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And the subject of this text, as for the whole book, is the relationship between Christ and his people. The love that Jesus has for the Christians and the love that the Christians have for Christ. And here in this text, we have the Shulamite speaking, or the bride, the woman. And she asked God, she asked Christ, that he would kiss her. And this is a way of the woman asking for tokens of love. She's asking that the love that he has for her would be manifested in kisses. And this is the desire of the Christian. This is what we pray for. This is the prayer that the Apostle Paul refers to in Ephesians chapter 3. That was his prayer for the people in Ephesus, that they might know the love of Christ, that love that passes all knowledge, to know the depth, the height, and the breadth of that love. And what we ask with the Shulamite, we ask Jesus that he would show to us his love. Not simply that he would tell us about his love, but that we might experience that love, that we might enjoy that love, that we might taste and see that love, that we might know that love, not because we heard of it, but because we have experienced it. And the reason why the woman wants to be kissed, it is because thy love, she said, is better than wine. To be loved by Christ is the most precious thing for a Christian. And so the subject for our meditation is the preciousness of Christ's love. And this expression, for thy love is better than wine, is saying that to be loved by Christ is for the Christian the greatest joy. Very often the wine in Scripture is associated to the idea of happiness and joy. And so when the Holy Spirit writes here that the love of Christ is better than wine, it means that his love creates more joy in our heart than anything else in the world. And if you're a Christian, you know what I mean. Your greatest joy, the moment of greatest happiness in your life, were the moments when the Lord Jesus has revealed to you his love. When you were able by the Holy Spirit to experience that love, to feel that love. When you felt and you were assured by God's grace that Jesus loved you. These were the highest moment in your life, the sweetest moment. And this very often happens when we are converted. When we, after being under conviction of sin, after being hopeless, after being without strength, when we are washed by the blood of Christ, when we are assured that he is our Savior, our hearts are very often, if not always, overwhelmed by this love of Christ toward us. And it is this joy that is the greatest joy. Nothing else in the whole world will make a Christian happy like to know that love, like to be kissed with the kisses of his mouth. Is this your greatest desire, believer? Is this what you hope for and pray for, to enjoy the love of Christ? Is the love of Jesus the greatest joy in your life? Or is it the thing of the world, the pleasure of this world, the joys of this world? The love of Christ is our greatest joy. But also, the love of Christ is our greatest wealth. Our greatest wealth. It's true that wine is associated to joy, but it is also something that is related to wealth. You don't have just wine. You don't have vineyard. You need food first. Wine is something, in a sense, superfluous, something, a plus, which is given to us. It's something that is associated with wealth and prosperity. And so when the Shulamite says, "Thy love is better than wine," she is saying that the love of Christ is the greatest, has the greatest value for her. It is the most precious thing she has. And she might be poor in material things, but if she has the love of Christ, she has everything. And so the love of Jesus for us is not simply something that gives us joy, it is our greatest riches. There is nothing more precious to us than the love of Jesus. The real Christian is willing to give up everything else in his life to win Christ. This was the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippians. He was willing to forget the past, to give up everything. He considered everything but dung, and he wanted Christ. To have a relationship with him, a living and loving relationship with Christ. Because his love is better than wine. His love is better than anything else the world can offer. His love is precious. But it is also precious in the sense that it is the greatest theme. It's better than wine. There is nothing that delights the Christian more than the love of Christ. There is nothing that fills our hearts with joy more than the love of Christ. There is nothing that we like to hear more than the love of Christ. A real Christian is never tired. He's never weary to hear about Christ and his love. The more he hears, the more he enjoys it. And the complaint is not too much, but too little. And it is the delight of Christians to have fellowship and discuss things that are of Christ and his love. Were you ever tired to hear that Christ loves sinners? Were you ever tired to hear about the one that you call to be the chief among 10,000? Can we ever be tired and weary to hear about the one who is altogether lovely? It is our favorite subject, not just as preachers, but as Christians. It is the theme of our discussion, the theme of our thinking. And when we are enabled by God's grace to meditate on Christ and to understand something more about him, when we are enabled to speak well about Christ in our evangelization or in our fellowship, it gives joy to our heart. He is our favorite theme. The Apostle Paul speaks of the love of Christ which passes all knowledge. We never comprehend enough about the love of Christ. We are never satisfied with something. We want more and more about his love. We want to know more in our head, more in our heart. We want to experience this love, to know that love. It is the most precious thing. Thy love is better than wine. So, but why is this love so precious? Why is this love so precious? I've got five reasons why the love of Jesus is precious to the unbeliever. And the first reason is that this love is undeserved. Look what he says at verse 6. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And here the Shulamite is amazed that Christ has love for her. And she said, I am black. Don't look upon me. I am filthy. I'm wrong. I was supposed to be looking after the vineyard, but I haven't. I am a disobedient person. I am not worthy of you. Don't look upon me. And she is amazed that Christ loves her. This is the picture that the Holy Spirit describes here in this chapter. And so the love of Christ for us is precious to us because it is undeserved. We don't merit it. We don't deserve it. We are black. And we are amazed that there is anything that God can see good in us, that can please God, that can make us lovely in His sight. I was reading Spurgeon this afternoon, and he said something that touched me very much. He was saying to his people preaching, "Oh, I can see why Jesus loves you, brethren," he said. "Oh, there are so many lovely things about you, but I'm amazed that He loves me." That was his point. And I think if you are a Christian, this is what you feel about yourself. "Oh, I understand why Jesus loves the elders in my congregation. They are good men. I understand why Jesus loved that lady in the congregation. She is a good lady, an example for us all. But how can Jesus love me? How is this possible?" The reality is, brethren, that the love of Christ is undeserved. We don't deserve to be loved from Christ. There is nothing within us that pleases Him. There is nothing within us that can conquer and win His love. We are black. We are sinners before Him. We are filthy. The best of our works are but filthy rags. We are hateful before Him. When He sees Him in what we are, when He sees us in all our sins, in the sinfulness of our actions, in the sinfulness of our thoughts, in the sinfulness of our lips, we are an awful sight for Christ. His eyes are too pure to behold us. So why does Christ love us? Because it pleased Him so. It is a love which is undeserved. It is a love that the Bible describes to be eternal, before the foundation of the world. So, it is nothing about us doing something, because we weren't there in eternity. And yet the love of Christ is for us, even before the world was, even before we were. And yet Christ was loving us, out of love for us. So His love is undeserved. And this for us who are Christians make His love to be precious. Because it is a gift. It is something that Christ has given to us, is offering to us, and we don't deserve it. If we had something to be praised for it, if we had done anything to merit this love, we might despise that love. But if we as Christians understand how bad we are before Him and how undeserved and unmerited this love for us is, then His love would become more precious. And I think the problem with us is that we don't grasp the unworthiness of us, of our unworthiness, and that the love that we enjoy, the love that Christ has for us, is totally undeserved. But this love is precious to us. We say that His love is better than wine. His love is the greatest theme of our discussion. His love is our greatest wealth, our greatest joy, because it is undeserved. When we understand that Christ loves sinners, that Christ loves the ungodly, when we understand that we are ungodly, that we don't deserve the least of His mercy, then our hearts leap for joy at the love of Christ. And now our minds wander, trying to understand this love. And we can't but speak about that love that passeth all knowledge. So the love of Christ is precious because it is undeserved. The love of Christ, secondly, is precious because it is unchangeable. Unchangeable. The love of Christ does not change with us. It doesn't change when we change. It doesn't decrease when our affections for Him get cold. It doesn't diminish when our love for Him diminishes. It doesn't diminish when we start to be disobedient, when we break His law, when we offend Him, when we betray Him, when we deny Him. His love doesn't change. His love for His people, His love for you, believer, is an unchangeable love. And no wonder, therefore, His love is precious. Because we are amazed that He is still loving us. We might be Christians for many years, and yet we wonder, how can Jesus keep loving me? Why has not Jesus given up with me? Why is He keeping loving me all my life? I've done so many sins in my life. I've said so many bad things. I've done so many awful things. I have denied Him. I have betrayed Him. I was ashamed of Him. I was, spiritually speaking, an adulterer. And yet His love for me is still the same. We feel very often as Christians as the 10 tribes of Israel, deserving to be exiled somewhere else, deserving to be persecuted, deserving to be cast out. And yet what we experience in our life, His mercy, His kindness, His grace. Though our love for Him is very little, though our affections are very cold, yet His love for us is unchangeable. And this unchangeable love makes this love precious. We fail Him very often. We have fainted. We have offended Him in many ways, brethren. And yet, He still loves us in the same way. I probably told you already, I think it was C.S. Lewis, he said something like this. He said, there is nothing you can do to diminish the love of Christ for His people. And there is nothing you can do to make that love bigger. The love of Christ for us is a perfect love. It's infinite. Because He is an infinite God. And there is nothing that can make that love less perfect than what it is. Not even your worst sin will ever diminish, Christian, the love of Christ for you. And this is why we are going to be in heaven at last. Not because our love for Him has increased, not because we have been faithful, but because He has loved us with an everlasting and unchangeable love. That is the only reason why you are in heaven at last, believer. That's the only reason why your salvation hasn't been taken away. His love. His love is unchangeable. No wonder the Shulamite says, thy love is better than wine. And when we understand that the love of Christ is always the same, that never changes, never fails us, therefore we are full of joy in our hearts. We are so pleased and so relieved that Christ is still loving us. And we speak with our brethren. It's our greatest theme because we speak with our brethren. You know, I'm still amazed that God is still loving me. And we can share with our brethren and we can speak to our unconverted family about this wonderful, unchangeable love. So the love of Christ is precious because it is undeserved. It is precious to us because it is unchangeable. But thirdly, it is precious because it is real. Because it is real. The Shulamite is asking for kisses. And kisses are very real. Kisses are more than words. It is a practical way to manifest love to someone. You don't kiss anyone. You kiss those that you love. And so the Shulamite is asking that Christ will show to her in a practical way His love. And what makes the love of Christ amazing is that His love is real. We live in a world that they're always talking about love. They're always talking about compassion, always talking about mercy, always talking about kindness. But what is love? Very often the love in this world ends in songs, in words, in promises, which are never kept. Oh, it's so easy to say to our wives, I love you. And so easy to say to our husbands, I love you. To our children, to our parents, to our brethren in the congregation. But do we practice this? We must all confess that our love for our wives and husbands, for our children and parents, for our brethren, for our neighbors, it is not what it should be. It's very often not real. It's not practiced in our life. We don't manifest that love in a practical way. But the love of Christ for us is real. It's real. Jesus did things out of His love for us. The greatest one, of course, according to Paul, is that God commended His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And the reason for it is love. He did it because He loved us. So His way to show and manifest His love for His people was to die for them when they were His enemies. His love is real. We can almost touch that love. We can see it in Calvary. There in Calvary, we see the love of Christ for us. We can experience that love when in time of discouragement, He comforts us by His Word, by His Spirit. We can taste and see that God is good. His love is a real thing. It is not a philosophical idea. It's not something abstract. It's something concrete. We can admire His love when we behold Him crucified for our sins. We can see there His love in a special way. We can see His love in His daily provision for us. We can see His love for us when He gives us bread, when our tables are full of food, when we have health and strength, when our mind is able to think and understand, when our eyes are able to see, when our ears are able to hear, when we are able to walk. These are all manifestations of the love of Christ for us. When we sin and we are not consumed, when our sins are forgiven, when He intercedes for us, all these are practical manifestations of Christ's love for us. And because it is a real one, because it is more than words and promises, that's why His love is so precious for us. That's why the Shulamite could say, thy love is better than wine. That's why we speak of that love all the time. Why we preach that love. Why we rejoice in that love. We delight in this love. Because it is a real one. It is real. But fourthly, this love is costly. This love is costly. And the reason why our love is not real, it is because of the cost. To love someone really, practically, it demands something from us. There is something that we must give up when we love someone. Our rights, maybe. What is ours? We must give to the one we love. For example, one of the things that the Apostle Paul speaks of to the Corinthians, and when he speaks about marriage, he says that the body of a woman belongs to her husband, and the body of the husband belongs to the woman. There is something which is our that must be given to the one that we love. Our time has to be given for the good of our wives, for the good of our children, our energy, our money, our desires, our privileges. our priorities have to be set apart for the good of the one that we love. There is a cost, and that's the reason why marriage can be so hard sometimes. Why? That's the reason why we fail so often as husbands, as children, as parents. Because there is a cost, and we are not willing to pay the cost for it. That's why our love for Christ is very often just in prayers and singing and not in practice. There is a cost when we have to love Christ. But if this is true for us, when we love Him, when we love our neighbor, it is even more true and more real for Christ when He loved us. For us to love Christ, there is very little required. We gain everything when we love Him. But for Christ to love us, it cost Him everything. Everything. It cost Him His soul. It cost Him to be numbered with the transgressor. It cost Him to bear the sin of many. This is what Isaiah said about Christ and His suffering. Out of love for us, He poured out His soul even unto death. Because He loved us, He gave Himself to as a living sacrifice. Because He loved us, He drank the cup of God's wrath. Because He loved us, He died on Calvary. Because He loved us, He had His hands and feet pierced on the cross. Because He loved us, He was mocked and slapped on His face and mocked and offended. And when we speak of grace, we think of gift, of a free gift. And that's true, but never forget, believer, that free gift that you have, that free salvation, that free forgiveness, it's free for you because Christ paid for you. It's not free at all for Christ. And so the moment in eternity, if we can speak in this way, when Christ loved us, from that moment, He knew there was a price to pay. There was a cost for Him. And He was willing to pay it. It is a costly love. And when we understand how much we costed to Christ, what was the price that Christ paid for us, then His love becomes more and more precious. And we delight more and more in that love. And that love becomes more and more our greatest wealth, our greatest delight, the theme of our discussion. Because we can't believe what Christ did for us. We can't grasp, we can't understand why Jesus suffered and gave what He gave for our salvation. For us who are black. So His love is undeserved. His love is unchangeable. His love is real. His love is costly. But a fifth reason, my last reason for tonight, why to us His love is so precious, it is because it is a transforming love. A transforming love. The Shulamite was just someone watching after a vineyard. And yet the one looking upon her was King. Her life was transformed. His life was put upside down, completely changed since she met her beloved. And so it is for us. Our Christian lives, our lives have been radically changed the moment Christ came to us, the moment His love changed us. We were once dead, but because He loved us, we are now alive. We were poor. But now because He loved us, we have become the heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. Once we were the children of the devil, but now because He loved us, we are God's children. Once without hope, now because He loved us, having a lively hope. Once going to hell, now because He loved us, marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Can you see what you are Christians now, it is because of the transforming love of Christ. Out of love for you, the Lord Jesus has changed your life. You were an enemies of God, and now you have love for God. Your ambitions, your desire, your heart, your mind, it all changed in your life. And this happened because of His love. Your state, your condition, your position, everything is new. You are a new creature, and this because Christ has loved you, believer. It is a transforming love. And when we see what the love of Christ has done in our life, then His love becomes more and more precious. And with the Shulamite, we say, "Thy love is better than wine."